Shall we pray together before we think about this passage from Isaiah? Lord, just as that song was reminding us a moment or two ago, we need to be people who keep our eyes focused on you. And Lord, I pray that in these next moments, as we think about your word, that you would draw close to us and that you would speak through this passage this morning, Lord, that you would encourage us in and through it about the hope that you have for us, and that you would challenge us, Lord, to be ever better disciples for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but at the minute, when I get to this point in the year, there tend to be four words that go around and around and around in my head incessantly, and I cannot get those four words out of my head. Some of you are predicting what the four words are. that's a dangerous path to go down. The four words that are incessantly in my head at this time of the year are, I need a holiday. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who begins to think that when we get towards sort of mid-June. I remember last year, in particular, getting to the summer and just feeling totally exhausted, like I'd barely ever felt before. And I remember just feeling really empty and desperate to get away last summer. And we left our holiday right to the end of the summer for reasons I cannot remember, but waiting until the end of August just seemed like an eternity, waiting to get there. And we went back to the place that we were in the year before because it was brilliant and it was sunny and we had such a good time and we had such good memories of it. And we turned up last year and we got there and it was pouring rain on that first day. And you'll find this hard to believe, but I wasn't in good form. I wasn't good company. I see a head at the back nodding from Sarah. I just really was not in good form at all of this. And you know, I remember getting into the hotel that night and we were pretty drenched and I was feeling pretty miserable about the whole thing. And we got there and I remember just like collapsing on the sofa and I was so exhausted. I remember just lying there sleeping and waking up and hearing the rain pouring outside. And actually, there was something really nice about it. You know that feeling you get when you're inside and you hear the rain outside? And there was something really nice about the whole thing, and it was like the reset button was being hit or something. And I got up the next day and it was sunny and the rest of it was great and everything, but I just remember there was something about that, you know, the rain falling that seemed really important. And that sound of water is really, it's just really life-giving in some ways. Like, we're so blessed to live where we do in this part of the world, and you can go by the beach and the sound of the water and everything. There's just something about it that's really life-giving. And even the rain, like, we get so much rain in this part of the world, but we need loads of rain, like, to sustain the planet and for agriculture and for human survival. It's like a source of life for us. And someone's had loads of water up there, whatever. And the Bible, I think, uses that same analogy to describe our needs. But our need is a need to be replenished by God. And the Bible will often talk about us being overflowing. And if you hear that word in the Bible, the word overflowing, it generally is used to describe God's abundance. I'm just going to keep fighting on. It generally tells us about God's abundance, God's generosity, God's love poured out for all of us. And it just reminds us that God is a good God, that he gives us everything that we need, that we are those who are deeply blessed, that he is overpouring all of his love and goodness and blessing to us. There's that famous line from the Psalms that many of you will know, that my cup overflows. It's just that sense we have sometimes in life that we are so blessed that our cup overflows with God's goodness. And then there's that verse from Romans that we often use as part of our blessing that says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to be a people who are overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is saying to us that there is a source of life that he has for us, and he wants us to be those who inherit that source of life, so that we are those who go out into the community and we are overflowing with hope, that other people then will see that hope and will wonder where that hope comes from. Stuart mentioned earlier about some of the stuff we've lived through this week, and I don't know if you're sitting here this morning and you maybe are in a season of life where you maybe just feel a little bit drained. And maybe that's because you've just reached a point in the year where you need a bit of rest and you need some refreshment in summer. Or maybe it is because you look at the world around you and you look at some of the things that are going on in our local community this week and you just feel utterly drained by the whole thing. Well, if you do, take hope and take encouragement, because this passage that we have from Isaiah this morning, it's actually directed at people who are tired, who are weary. Their weariness, we're told, leads them to praying empty prayers. They just don't even know what to pray anymore about what it is that they're seeing going on around them, that they're bringing these offerings to the Lord, but they're just going through the motions with the whole thing, and they start to grumble about everything in life, because what's happening is that their hearts have become really heavy and they've become really distant from God's own heart. But God reminds them of what he has done for them, and he uses that to renew their trust that he will do it again. So we read this in the chapter that comes just before the one that Jay read this morning for us. Just before it, we read this. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. What's God saying there to his people? All those things I've done for you in your life, they are nothing compared to what I am going to do for you in the future. And what God is saying to a people there who are lacking in hope is that I am at work in all of this situation, that you have a future, and that your best days are the days ahead of you, not the days behind you. And I think when I hear this, God saying this to his people, I think we get glimpses into the very heart of God when he says this. We get glimpses of his character, of who he is, and of how he sees us. And it's all summed up then in that next chapter, chapter 44, that Jay read for us. In verse 2, I am the Lord who made you. I am the Lord who helps you. And the next verse, I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit on your descendants. There's something very important about that. Just listen to it again. I am the Lord who made you in the past. I am the Lord who helps you in the present. And I am the Lord who will pour out water to quench your thirst and will pour out my spirit on your descendants in the future. God is saying to his people here, I will never abandon you. I haven't abandoned you before. I'm not going to get into the business of abandoning you now. You can trust me absolutely. You can take confidence from what I've done for you already. And do not give up hope, because your future is secure in me. And you know, that's exactly the same promise that he makes to us today. just in case you're sitting there and you're thinking that somehow that this promise was restricted and it was only a promise for the people in the land of Israel in that time. This promise includes you and it includes me if we belong to Christ. How do I know that? Well, because the Bible tells us. Galatians 3:29, for example. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise belongs to you. So if you are sitting here in this room today, and a little bit like in the passage that we heard, if you're able to say, I belong to the Lord, then this promise is yours as well. And the promise is that blessing will be outpoured when we go through those seasons of emptiness, and it will be outpoured through God's Spirit. So God says, I will pour out water to quench your thirst, and I will pour out my Spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Now, we talked about Pentecost a few weeks ago, you might remember. And it is true that the prophecy, this prophecy of the pouring out of the Spirit, was partially fulfilled in the day of Pentecost, that day when the Spirit was given as a gift to all believers to empower us to live lives of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. That's why God gives us his Spirit. He gives us a Spirit because, as it says in Ephesians 1, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. If you're in this room today and you believe in Jesus Christ and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then he identifies you as his own. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he will do for you. He identifies you as his own. Some versions of that, some translations put it like this: he has put his seal on you. You're stamped, you're marked as his forever. And how does he do that? Well, the rest of the verse, Ephesians 1 verse 13 tells us. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So he's looking back to this promise. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. Jesus has purchased you by his blood on the cross to be his own people. And he has given you the Spirit as a gift to keep you coming back to him and keep reminding you of the promises that he has made to you. And when he returns to this earth, he is going to restore everything, and his promise to make all things new will come to its complete fruition. But for now, in these days and weeks and years or whatever it will be, while we wait for him to return, we have access to his power to transform us through the Spirit that is in us as a guarantee that he will give us everything that he has promised us. Now, what does that look like tomorrow morning when you go to work? What does that look like this afternoon when you sit down with your family? What does that look like later this week when you go for your hospital appointment? What does that look like in the days and weeks ahead when there are challenges in your life? Well, it looks like this. It takes away your fear. It takes away your fear. Verse 2 of the reading. The Lord who made you and helps you says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant. Do not be afraid. Do not so many of us live today in fear? Is that not part of the problem with the world, with what we see going on around us in life today, that we are living lives of fear? That we live in fear about things that have happened, that we live in fear about things that might happen. But God says to us through His Spirit that we get the assurance that we are safe from everything that is not good for us. That through the Spirit that we receive this assurance in the very core of who we are, that God knows every single day of our lives. Whatever seems fearful tomorrow does not need to be fearful if we are filled with the Spirit. Your relations at home might be tense for some reason. You might have difficulties in your family for whatever reason. Your health might be deteriorating for whatever reason. Your employment may not be secure. When all of these things happen to us, don't we begin to experience what the prophet Isaiah is saying here? This thirst, this deep longing for confidence. And what he's saying to us is that when we ask for an outpouring of God's Spirit, that He will fill us in those moments with hope and He will conquer our fear. And I think this is something that this community, that this land of ours needs really desperately right now. Because there has not been much hope around in recent days. And if we're honest with ourselves, there hasn't been much hope around in recent weeks or even recent years. Why does someone brutally attack another human being with a knife? Why do people, as a result of that, riot and try to burn people alive in their homes? In the end, when you boil all of this down, it is because there is a crippling lack of hope in their lives. When your life is hopeless, you do not value life itself. What these people need more than anything is hope in their lives. What that man armed with a knife needs more than anything in his life is hope in his life. And there is only one place where he, where they, where we will ever find that source of hope. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ and that gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives us when we place our faith in Him, that tells us that we are God's people, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit forever, and that we are His, that He is ours, that He looks after us, and that our days before us are so much better than our days behind us are the days that we are living in right now. This land needs a massive outpouring of God's Spirit and God's hope. And you know, for those of us who carry the Spirit, who have put our hope and our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior of this world, we need to be vigilant too. Because the truth is that when we become surrounded by stories of hopelessness, that it can actually suck the hope and the life out of us as well. That is not to say that we are not called to intervene in these situations, quite the opposite, in fact. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility to carry the Spirit of Christ when we encounter individuals who lack hope. But we need to be careful. We need to be those who keep turning back to the source of hope itself so that we are replenished, so that we overflow with hope, as the Bible puts it. As Isaiah describes it, we need the Spirit in the same way that a tree by a stream is constantly drinking up water. Because only then will we thrive like watered grass, like willows on the riverbank, as he puts it. If we don't do that, if we don't keep filling ourselves with the source of life, then yes, we will end up experiencing desert moments. desert seasons in our lives. But you know the wonderful thing about the Lord and all of that is his mercy and his grace and his encouragement, because he will keep reminding us through his Spirit in us about his promise to fill us with the assurance of hope that our souls need when we fall into these states. And sometimes the Spirit will prompt us that there are actions and patterns that we need to avoid if we aren't to become spiritually dry ourselves. When I was thinking of this, I kept thinking back to Psalm 1, and this might resonate with you. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves neither wither, and they prosper in all they do. The Bible is giving us really valuable advice there. God, through his word, is giving us really valuable advice about not following the advice of the wicked, not hanging around with sinners, not joining in with mockers. We need to be really careful about these things because they suck life from us. We need to be careful that we are those who keep source close to the source of life, God himself, in word and in spirit, as we've been thinking about in recent weeks. Doesn't the Spirit of God work by reminding us of his word? The Spirit, sometimes when we're going through a hard time, will remind us of a verse, will remind us of a promise that God has made to us. And the word does something similar. We're reading the word, and the word produces hope in us because God speaks to us through his Spirit. Spirit through the word by the Spirit, they take away fear and nourish hope and fill us with joy, and they help us to overflow in love, and all of that glorifies God. That's what it means when we talk about being filled with the Spirit. But I appreciate and I understand that some of you might be looking around you today, especially in a week like this, and you might feel despair. I wonder if any of you over the last week have actually thought to yourself, this place is a wasteland. I wonder if some of you in your own lives look at parts of your life, actions that keep happening, thoughts you keep falling into, patterns of behavior that you don't seem to be able to break, attitudes that you have, and you just think, this is a wasteland. This part of me has been dead for far too long. Well, if it is you, be assured, because these verses that we are looking at today and countless other verses like it in the Bible tells us that that is not how God sees you. That is not how God sees things in our community. God sees our lives and God sees our land, and he says it just needs a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. It is not hopeless. And what we find is that when God does pour out his Spirit, what took years of drought to dry out can be restored in a single moment of his presence. Just think about some of those stories that we have heard in recent days. Think of the stories that the team from Willowfield brought to this place a couple of weeks ago. Stories of transformation. Stories of people who thought their lives would never turn around. Stories of people who thought they had addictions that could never be broken. Stories of people who thought they had fallen into such a low place that God couldn't possibly care about them and they couldn't ever be lifted from it. And yet they were. And yet chains were broken. And yet hope was poured in to their lives. Because that is who God is. And that is what God does every single day of the week. So I want you to think of one final image with me now. I want you to think in your mind's eye about Death Valley. I imagine nobody, very few anyway, of us have been ever to Death Valley in California. But I imagine we can think about it in our mind's eye and we know what it looks like. It is one of the hottest, driest, most unforgiving environments on the earth. For years at a time, it just looks completely dead. The dirt is cracked, the air is suffocating, and it just seems that nothing could ever grow there. I want you to picture it in your mind right now. And I want to ask you a question. Where do you see Death Valley in your life? Where has hopelessness got a grip on your life? Where has hopelessness managed to get in and get a grip on your life? Where do you see Death Valley in this land of ours? Where has hopelessness got a grip in our community and in our country? And I want you to hold the thought just for a moment. And I want you to consider this. Deep beneath that scorched, dusty surface of Death Valley lie millions and millions of wild seeds. They are not dead. They are just dormant. They are lying there waiting. If Death Valley gets a light sprinkle of rain, as it does from time to time, nothing will happen because the heat will just evaporate the drops of rain before they can even get into the soil. But every so often, around about every decade or so, something happens in Death Valley. And what happens is that a massive, relentless atmospheric river breaks over the desert and it completely saturates that land. And every 10 years or so, when that massive outpouring hits, it triggers something known as a superbloom. And within weeks, that barren, browned, deserted wasteland is completely wiped away and is replaced by a vibrant, knee-high carpet of millions and millions of gold, purple, and pink flowers that can actually be seen from space. The transformation is amazing. Life is not missing in these places. It just needs an overwhelming downpour to unlock it. And our lives and the lives of the people that we live in this place with are exactly the same. And here is the hope that we have, that God pours out his Spirit like water. He does not pour it out like a sprinkle. He pours it out like a downpour. Because Isaiah 44 tells us that he lifts the heavens and he unleashes a downpour. He doesn't say, I'll sprinkle out water. He says, I will pour out water to quench your thirst. And I will pour out my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. The Lord's promise to you, the Lord's promise to anyone who turns to him, is that he will pour out his Spirit. That Spirit that transforms even the most hopeless looking situation. If you're here today and there's a situation that you're carrying in your life and it looks utterly, utterly hopeless, then the Lord, by his Spirit, has the power to completely transform that situation in your life. Because the Spirit restores, the Spirit gives life, and we need the Spirit in this land desperately. We need a massive outpouring of God's Spirit in this land at this time. And here's the reality, and here's the truth. That God wants to pour out his Spirit among us because hopelessness is not God's will for us. Hopelessness is not what God wants for any of us. And hopelessness is the force that he and he alone can break by the power of his Spirit. And what I would love us to do now is to pray for a mighty downpour of God's Spirit into those aspects of your life that you pictured in your mind's eye a moment ago, and into this land of ours, which has shown the consequences of hopelessness in the last few days. And I want us together now to pray that the Lord would pour out his Spirit into these things and situations, and that he would transform them and bring life where at the minute there is spiritual death. Will you join me in praying for this? Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. We need you in our lives, and we need you in our community, and we need you desperately at this time. We confess, Lord, that we sit here this morning and we bow before you because we are people who are thirsty. We are people who are desperate to see that living water that only you can give, and we are desperate to see it poured into our lives and poured over this place. Lord, we pray that just as you promised to pour that water of life onto parched ground, so that you would pour out your Holy Spirit over our lives now. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, over people who were engaged in violence this week. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, over people who are living right now in a state of fear in our community. Yes, Lord, we dare to pray, pour out your Holy Spirit on that man who was driven to take a knife to another human being. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray, and transform these lives. Lord, we pray also for anyone in here this morning carrying any sense of weariness or dryness. When we thought about that picture of Death Valley a moment ago, and we think about our lives where there are areas of hopelessness in our lives, areas where we have allowed this grip of hopelessness to take place in our lives, areas in our lives where we've just given up, where we've decided that it cannot be turned around, that there is no solution and no hope for that thing. Lord, let your grace flow through us like rivers of life. Where there is fear in this place, Lord, let your Spirit flow through us like rivers of life that give confidence. For anyone sitting here in this place this morning, Lord, who is carrying a sense of just a lack of purpose in their life, of feeling that they are not here for any particular reason, Lord, remind them now by the power of your Spirit that they are chosen by you, that they are loved by you, that while there is a breath in their body, that they are here to do something for you, that you have put them on this land and on this earth because there is something that you want them to do for you, that they and we all have a purpose. And for anyone carrying any sense of burden, any sense of having tried for years and years to shift out of patterns or actions or thoughts that are holding us back, Lord, I pray now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would break that and break it once and for all, and release life where there once was spiritual deadness. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. We know this is your will for your people. May your presence rise up within us. May your presence overflow in this land in the days ahead. May it spring up into everlasting life. And may many, many souls find refreshment and find hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."